Welcome into the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Thanks so much for tuning in. Lots to talk about on today's show. College football games being announced as far as what times they're going to get started. Monday night football games for the NFL. But we will start with today's show in the NBA as the Boston Celtics have taken care of business there against the Cleveland Cavaliers with a 113-98 win. They take home that series. They'll advance on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Boston now waiting the winner of the Knicks-Pacers series. And, man, that game last night, Boston knew that they had an opportunity to close it out, and they came out and did that. Al Horford, 22 points, 15 rebounds, a nice little double-double for him. Jason Tatum, 25 points, leading the team in that game last night. Boston really kind of come out and had an attack, and they knew what to do, and they knew where to go, and they were like, you know what? We're not prolonging this series any more than we need to. We're going to go ahead and close it out now and go ahead and move on and get some rest before we head on to the Eastern Conference Finals, which is key because, honestly, you look at the Pacers. The Pacers had a little bit of a tough test in round one against Milwaukee, against the Bucks, the three-seed team there. And then the Knicks are just so banged up. So the fact that Boston is going to be able to sit and wait for these guys in the Eastern Conference Finals just allows this team to get even healthier and maybe even better as they do get some of that health and some of those, you know, issues as far as, you know, tiring out and things like that in games won't really be an issue for them because they'll be able to take some time off and rest their bodies. So definitely a big factor for Boston moving forward in the postseason as they again now will await the winner of that series between the Knicks and the Pacers. The big thing now for the Cleveland Cavaliers is what happens with Donovan Mitchell. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell didn't play last night. Neither did Allen or LeVert. Those guys out with their own set of injuries. But Donovan Mitchell's been that guy for them in the postseason. You look at this series against Orlando before this one against Boston. You know, Orlando really had them on the ropes in Game 7 in Cleveland. And Donovan Mitchell was that guy in the second half, put his foot down and said, no, not only are we going to be done with you having us up against the ropes in our house, we're going to come back and we're going to win this game and we're going to knock you out of the playoffs. And that's what happened. And you saw time and time again when the Cavs had a good game in the postseason, it was because Donovan Mitchell had a good game in the postseason. So it's now a question of what do they do with him moving forward? He's still technically on contract for one more year, but he can't opt out of this. So when the league year ends, so when it's time for them to be able to opt out, which I believe is June 29th, I think, somewhere along that mark, when players are able to opt out of their final year of their contract, if they can, does Donovan Mitchell do that? I think if he decides to say, you know what, I just want to kind of test and see what's out there, he's going to have a long line of teams lined up at his door. I mean, Winhurst was talking about it on a couple of different shows on ESPN yesterday. Brian Winhurst, the NBA reporter for ESPN, does a great job, really kind of has a finger on the pulse of everything happening in the NBA. And the guy's got a lot of great sources. So when he says something, that's when you definitely listen to it. And he was talking about how there's going to be a long list of teams lined up out the door waiting for Donovan Mitchell if he decides to opt out of his contract. And at the front of that list, and now it may make a little bit more sense why he was at the game the other night, will be the LA Lakers, right? LeBron was at that game. Lots of people kind of got talking. Well, it's LeBron, you know, he did it with Miami. He did it in Miami. His contract was up in Miami. He was seen at a Cavs game on the sideline, sitting courtside. Then all of a sudden he went back to Cleveland. Could he do that now with the Lakers? I don't think so. I think that was more of a courting of Donovan Mitchell. I really do think that was more of a, hey, have a great game tonight. Why don't you step over here and let me talk to you about the future for a second, right? How would you like to keep the yellow, but trade that maroon in for a little purple? I don't know. Bringing him in, you got Anthony Davis, you got LeBron James, you bring in a guy like Donovan Mitchell, you get a good quality head coach in there. Suddenly the Lakers are a little bit more serious than what they have been the last couple of seasons. So I think if Donovan Mitchell does want to explore free agency, if he does want to opt out of this final year of his contract, Cleveland fans are going to hate it. Obviously, they would love for him to stay and finish out his contract and even really sign an extension, but I don't think an extension is going to happen anytime soon, if at all. Cleveland fans would love for him to stay, but if he decides to go and test the waters and opt out of that final year of his contract, you've got the Lakers are going to be there. You got to think there are going to be other teams lined up at that door. We've talked about before, the Orlando Magic need to go find a guy who is going to be an offensive weapon for them that they can rely on throughout the entirety of a game, especially late into a game. Donovan Mitchell could be that guy. We've talked about yesterday about the Minnesota Timberwolves going and finding Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, going and finding him some help outside of Karl-Anthony Towns. Donovan Mitchell could be an option. There's going to be lots of teams in the NBA that are going to be lined up at his door with a contract in hand, ready to go. And I don't blame him one bit. This is going to be one of those guys that's definitely going to be highly sought after as far as free agency goes if he decides to go that route and opt out of his final year. Let's see. Moving on now, looks like Dallas, they jumped out to that 3-2 lead by taking care of business against OKC last night, 104-92, the final of that. Doncic had 31 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. It's just crazy the fact that he just continues putting up stats like this while playing on a sprained knee. He's not 100%, by the way. He has a sprained knee. And if you've ever had a sprained knee or just a twisted knee or a twisted ankle or anything like that, that's hard to walk on, let alone play basketball, a sport that requires you to do a lot of running and jumping. Those knees and those ankles, that's the shock absorbers of your legs, right? They're taking in all that pressure when you're coming down off of a jump. And this guy has been playing through the entire postseason with a sprained knee and putting up numbers like he did last night. Again, 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists for Luka in that game last night for the Mavericks. And the Mavericks, I mean, look, they said last game, game four in OKC, had the 14-point lead and we blew it. We knew that we had an opportunity to take a 3-2 lead then, and we choked. So for them, they were like, you know what? We really need to take advantage of this opportunity that we have. We need to go out there. We need to take that 3-2 lead, grab it, and take control of this series. Still letting OKC kind of hang around a little bit in this series. Dallas understood that had they won that game four and taken that 3-1 lead, they would have had a chokehold on this series and would have had a great opportunity of moving on potentially to the Western Conference Finals. They came out, they said, came out, had a mission to not let that happen again. And OKC kind of really, honestly and truthfully helped them out. Because here's the thing, OKC shot terribly last night. They found some ways to get in there and find shots. Obviously, you scored 92 points. You're scoring points and you're finding shots. But when they needed it most, it was not there for OKC. And we talked a little bit about how they're a young team, but they don't necessarily show it. Maybe they're starting to. I don't know. We'll just have to see how game six goes. Again, if Dallas takes game six, they will move on to the Western Conference Finals. If OKC finds a way to win, well, then, hey, we will go to a game seven. And I think I speak for all sports fans when I say there is nothing like a game seven. So definitely we'll be enjoying that if that happens. Colorado, they take down the Stars 5-3 in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, but Dallas still got that 3-2 lead. Dallas has just looked like the better team. Colorado has gotten theirs at points throughout this series. They've been able to find ways to win and get a couple of games, but for the most part, Dallas has just seemed to be the better team in this series. And I really don't think this game goes to, or this series goes to seven games. I think Dallas closes it out, their next opportunity that they get. And I think because of that, Colorado's kind of one of those teams where when they're playing really well, oh, it's really hard to beat them. It is really hard to beat them. But they just haven't been that team, right? That team we saw, what was it, a year ago? Or was it the year before? When they took care of the Tampa Bay Lightning in the postseason. Yeah, they just haven't been that team. And so I think because of that, it opened the door for Dallas. And like I said, Dallas has just played like the better team. So I fully expect Dallas to close this thing out coming up in Game 6. Now, as far as the games that were released, not only are we starting to see NFL games. Like, we were seeing the Amazon Prime Thursday night schedule. We're seeing the Monday night football schedule, which we'll talk about coming up in just a second. But we even got news yesterday because Netflix and HBO Max hosting like their big conference thing. And Netflix announced during it that they're going to be, for the next 3 years, the official Christmas Day home of the NFL. So whenever you watch a game on Christmas Day in the NFL, you have to have Netflix to watch it. And my question is, how does that work? Because Netflix is not necessarily known for commercials, right? Isn't that like their whole thing? Like, they don't do commercials. So how do you incorporate commercial breaks? Do you just stay with the action and have things happening during the game while they're doing timeouts? Like, it's going to be very interesting to see this year how those games work on Netflix. Look, we wondered the same thing with Amazon. How would it work on Amazon Prime? Is it going to work on Amazon Prime? And I think it's actually been a pretty good success for the NFL having those games on Thursday night. So this could be a big thing. Again, Netflix isn't really kind of getting into the whole season. They're just doing Christmas Day, so it's making it a little special. Hopefully, they offer a special football package or something like that to where, you know, maybe it's a little cheaper or something around Christmas. So, you know, they can drop their price or something. So people who don't necessarily want to pay for Netflix could sign up and still be able to watch their teams play on Christmas Day. But I thought that was kind of interesting that that Netflix getting into the football game by becoming the official Christmas Day home of the NFL for the next 3 years. Let's transition now. Before we get to the NFL, we're going to bounce around here. So instead of sticking with the NFL and doing the Monday night football games, let's bounce over to college, because at the college level, the SEC has actually announced some times. You know, they've got the new deal with ESPN and ABC. It's no longer the SEC on CBS. It's the SEC on ABC. So it's going to be interesting. I know SEC fans on social media, not necessarily still that used to being on ABC instead of CBS, and they are going to be very, very, very upset. It's going to be like seeing your ex with a new boyfriend or girlfriend whenever that CBS sports theme starts playing for college football, you know, the classic theme, but it's for the Big Ten and not the SEC. Oh, there's going to be SEC fans that are going to be jolted and shook because of that, for sure. But do have some, say what you will about the whole change to ABC. We've got some great games coming to ABC because of it. As a matter of fact, to get started on that opening Saturday, August 31st, Georgia and Clemson. That game will get kicked off at noon from Atlanta. So right there in the, I like to call it the Chick-fil-A Dome because it's the only sports stadium in the world that has a Chick-fil-A. And oh, by the way, it's the only Chick-fil-A that's open on Sundays, so they can actually serve Chick-fil-A during Atlanta Falcons games. So I like to call it the Chick-fil-A Dome, even though it is the Mercedes-Benz, whatever it's called. I call it the Chick-fil-A Dome. So they're playing in the Chick-fil-A Dome there in Atlanta. And you've got after that game, so as soon as that game goes off, we go from Atlanta right down to Gainesville, where you've got Miami at Florida. And man, is that game huge. I know you're going to look at that and you're going to go, really? Florida was 5-7 last year. Miami, if I remember correctly, lost their bowl game. You think that's a big game? Yeah, no, it's a big game. It's a big game for different reasons. Not national championship implications, but pink slip implications. Because I'm putting it out there right now, and I will probably say it more times leading up to this game. The head coach that loses this game will lose their job at the end of the year, maybe even sooner than that. Whether it's Mario Cristobal or whether it's Billy Napier, whichever coach loses this game will lose their job at the end of the season. Because especially for Florida, Florida can't afford to lose this game. Have you seen the back half of their schedule? They have every single team on the back half of their schedule from Georgia all the way to Florida State at the end is at least a top 15 team preseason. You're talking about teams like Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas, and Florida State. Yikes. Florida can't afford to lose those first few weeks of the season before they get to that stretch. If they want a chance to actually go to a bowl game this year and have a decent season, they've got to win these types of games. So like I said, whether it's Miami, whether it's Florida in this game, pink slips are on the line. And I'm not talking about for cars. I'm talking about for jobs. Whichever head coach loses this game is going to lose their job. We've also got Notre Dame and A&M. That game is going to be at 7:30 on August 31st on ABC. And then on Sunday on ABC, LSU and USC. That is going to be a fun game to watch right there. How does LSU bounce back? They lost their two big receivers. They lost their Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. How do they bounce back in that game, especially against what's going to be a tough and probably with the coaching staff they have there and the offense they like to run, a high-scoring USC offense. So we'll see how that plays out for them. Some of the other games that the SEC has announced over the last couple of days for the upcoming college football season. On September 17th on ABC at 2:30 local time, South Carolina and Kentucky. That's going to be a good game. I think that's always a good game whenever these two teams match up. You've got Tennessee taking on NC State. Nice little SEC-ACC rivalry right there. Well, not necessarily rivalry, but it's always fun when cross-conferences can kind of come together like this and play in these types of games. So that's actually going to be from Charlotte. That game will get kicked off again September 7th at 7:30. You got the Aggies heading on the road to Gainesville to take on Florida. This is the first time A&M has been in Gainesville since Florida wore those swamp green gator skin uniforms. I forget what year it was, but that was not a good idea by the marketing team. I understand where they were trying to go, but, you know, it didn't work out on paper as well as they thought it would, or in real life for that matter. Definitely, if you ask Florida fans, one of the least favored Florida jerseys. That game coming up September 14th. That'll be a 2:30 local time kickoff again on ABC. 7:30 kickoff on September 14th on ABC. The Dogs, they're heading into Lexington to take on the Kentucky Wildcats. Kentucky definitely going to be a curious team to keep an eye on this year. They're one of those teams that do I really think they're going to be one of the top teams in the SEC? Probably not, but they're definitely one of those teams that can ruin it for other teams, right? We talk about Florida and how they've got to win games their front half of the season because the back half of the schedule is so brutal. Kentucky is one of those teams that can really throw a wrench in that plan for the Gators. And we've seen them do it the last couple of years. Kentucky has had Florida's number. As somebody who was born in 91 and it grew up my entire life, whenever that game came around of just going, oh, well, Florida's going to dominate this game and they're going to win it. That doesn't happen anymore. As a matter of fact, the tables have seemed to flip and Kentucky's been dominating Florida. So Kentucky's going to be a fun team to watch there. That's going to be a good one right there in Georgia or against Georgia in Lexington. Then the next one on September 28th. A 7:30 kickoff, 6:30 kickoff local time. That same Georgia team that we were just talking about heading into Lexington, they're heading into Tuscaloosa. Yeah, this is the matchup everybody's wanting to see. Kirby Smart heading into Bryant-Denny Stadium. No Nick Saban on the other sideline. You got Coach DeBoer over there now. How does this Alabama team look? How do they measure up? You're going to see with Coach DeBoer as the head coach how they measure up against a team like Georgia. And you're going to see it early on. Again, September 28th, that's like, what, week 3 or 4 of the season? So you will definitely get a good look at what Alabama is going to look like under Coach DeBoer, at least the first couple of seasons. I think there'll be some growing pains for them. But this is definitely going to be one of those matchups to highlight and circle on your schedules. We've also got the annual game in Jacksonville that we can't say the actual name of. And that is going to be happening with Florida and Georgia coming up on, that is going to be November 2nd. So usually that game is kind of right there around Halloween, and it still kind of is, but usually it never happens after Halloween. This year it actually is because of the addition of Oklahoma and Texas into the SEC. And, man, it's definitely going to be interesting to see where Florida matches up against this Georgia team, right? This is going to be the start of that gauntlet for Florida. And I heard Chris Doering, who used to be a Florida Gator wide receiver. Now he does college broadcasting for ESPN. And I heard him talking about Florida and Billy Napier. And more importantly, this final 5-game stretch of the season for the Gators. And he was talking about, you know, it's not necessarily if you lose. It's how you lose, right? You look at the game against Georgia, lots of people are going to expect Georgia to win that game. You look at the game against LSU, against Texas, against Florida State, lots of people will expect those games to be won by the other team, not Florida. If Florida goes out and gets embarrassed and they just look like they just aren't prepared, then that's going to be probably the final nail in Billy Napier's coffin there in Gainesville as the head coach of the Gators. But if they go out and they, you know, Georgia hits an end of regulation field goal to win the game, then yeah, I think you're suddenly going to see something where people are going to start kind of shifting and going, okay, Florida might be a little bit closer than what we thought. You know, Florida might be not be in a position to get these teams this year, but next year, especially when you look in the talent that they are bringing in, not only from this past recruiting class, but the next recruiting class as well, this Florida team could surprise some people. So really, it's going to be this is going to be that start of that gauntlet for Florida. And I think Chris Doering said it best. It's not if you lose, it's how you lose, right? You can lose by 1 point, and I think people will still be impressed with the outcome. I saw somebody, I think Chris Pate, from Pate State, he was talking about Florida. He said, you know what? They could go 6-6 and be the 13th best team in the country. But because of the way that schedule lines up, it just doesn't do them any favors. And it doesn't do Billy Napier any favors either. So we'll see how that plays out there for the Gators. And for the rest of those games, still kind of interesting, though, that we don't have any new times for Oklahoma or Texas. No game times for them so far, but like I said, more expected to come out over the next few days, and we'll talk about it once they are released. For the Monday Night Football schedule, you've got some interesting games here. Jets fans having a little PTSD right now because they remember last year, week one on Monday Night Football, Aaron Rodgers goes down with a torn Achilles, out for the entire season. Well, guess who's playing week one Monday Night Football? Yeah, that's right. The New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, they're going to be on the road taking on the 49ers. Then we'll get our first Monday Night Football look at Kirk Cousins as the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons as they take on Philly on the road against the Eagles there. We've got on September 23rd, we'll have our first doubleheader as the Jacksonville Jaguars will take on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. Joe Burrow coming back for the Bengals, going to be taking on the Washington Commanders. That is going to be an ABC exclusive game. So that game, the Commanders and Bengals game, will be on ABC at the same time that the Jags and the Bills are on ESPN. So we'll have a couple of those throughout the season. As a matter of fact, the following week we'll have another situation like that on the 30th for week four. As on ESPN, the Titans will head to South Beach to take on the Dolphins. With that new-look offense right there, you've got Tyreek Hill, you've got Jalen Waddle, now you bring in Odell Beckham Jr. How dynamic is that trio going to be at the receiver position for the Dolphins? Only time will tell. I think it's if you're a Dolphins fan, you should be excited about the possibility it can bring, but we'll see if it actually plays up to its potential. That same night for Week 4 on September 30th, on ABC, we've got the Seahawks and the Lions in Detroit. Then we move on October 7th for Week 5. The Saints will take on the reigning Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. October 14th, we've got an AFC East battle when the Bills head to Gotham to take on the New York Jets. Another doubleheader, another double game weekend on October 21st for Week 7 as Baltimore heads to Tampa to take on the Bucks. Then you've got the Chargers heading to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. How does the Chargers look year one under Jim Harbaugh? How does Arizona look? You've added a couple of weapons for Kyler Murray. Some new faces, new names there. How are they going to look? October 28th, you've got the Giants. Could this be the last year, not only for Dable, but Daniel Jones as well at the quarterback position? We talked about it yesterday. You know, there could be there's rumors and you know, talkings out there of what if Bill Belichick and Dak Prescott go to the Giants in 2025. We'll see if that happens. It's still got a long way to go before that can happen. But for this year, the Giants going to be on the road taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, new faces for the Steelers as well. Russell Wilson, the starting quarterback. How's that going to play out? Even talked about Pittsburgh being a potential landing spot for Dak if he decides to go be a free agent next year. November 4th, back with a Super Bowl rematch from a few years back. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to head on the road to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. November 11th, Week 10, the Miami Dolphins will head out west to take on the L.A. Rams. So Odell Beckham Jr. and Jalen Ramsey going back to take on the team that they won a Super Bowl ring together on in the L.A. Rams. And it looks like Week 11, November 18th, we'll have the Houston Texans taking on the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. November 25th, Week 12, the Boston Ravens will head on to take on the L.A. Chargers. So little Monday Night Football brother against brother action as John Harbaugh takes on Jim Harbaugh in that game. December 2nd for Week 13, the Cleveland Browns Deshaun Watson, how's he going to be playing? Going to be heading into Denver, Mile High City, to take on whoever is going to be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. At this point in the season, very well could be Bo Nix. So we'll see how that game plays out again in Week 13. For Week 14, we've got the Bengals, Joe Burrow, heading on the road to take on Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. December 16th, that is going to be our next kind of like double feature, if you will, weekend, where we actually have for the ABC exclusive game a NFC North rivalry with the Chicago Bears, the C always throws me off, with the Chicago Bears taking on the Minnesota Vikings. So a nice little Monday Night Football look at Caleb Williams in that game. And then Atlanta Falcons will be in Vegas taking on the Raiders that same night. That game will be on ESPN. And, of course, December 23rd, Week 16, the New Orleans Saints on the road in Wisconsin taking on the Green Bay Packers. And it looks like December 30th, we'll have the Detroit Lions on the road against the 49ers. Could be a potential NFC championship game right there with those two teams. And January 4th, not announced yet, to be determined, doubleheader. So we could see a doubleheader happening up on January 4th. And this is, again, just your Monday Night Football slate, which, again, you can catch the action for Monday Night Football right here on ESPN Pensacola. So if you're going to be out on the roads or whatever when these games are on, maybe you drive a truck or something for a living, you can tune into us at ESPN Pensacola at 99.1 FM and listen to each and every game throughout the season on Monday Night Football. That is going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Tomorrow is Friday. We're going to have some fun on a finally Friday. I'll talk to you then. The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass, the ESPN Pensacola podcast. Have a great day.